please welcome Pastor Kerry to share the word.
How are you this morning? I'm a lot better. I'm healed and whole. And I'm not coughing at all, which is good. Got to just while I get all my stuff together here. I was just looking at the serving and listening to Christy, just going wow, and wasn't getting prepared down there. But a couple of things I need to the baptisms. You know, I was speaking to I've spoken to heaps of people before about baptisms, and one of the things that I get from them is, and I get it because I was like that as well, is that when I became a Christian, I didn't need to get baptized. Okay, I didn't need it, and I wasn't ready for it. Just didn't need it. Wasn't ready for it until I actually read what the Bible says about being baptized, repent and be baptized, and I went, wow. And you may think that you're not ready for it, but you don't have to be ready for it. You just have to trust and obey and get out of the way and get baptized. That's what it says. It's a public public announcing declaration that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. Old, new, come up new. And it's one of the best things. If I could do it every week, I would. But it's true. So if you've never been baptized, please come and see me or Pastor Craig, ring the office, and we'd love to have many people on Easter Sunday morning being baptized in the baptismal font over there. How exciting. A lot of you people know, so I prefer to have it in the ocean. That's really public. But Easter Sunday, we're gonna have it there because we know a lot of people will be coming in for the service. So how exciting is that? One other announcement before I get started is Chrissy and Ben at Aubrey. They believe God is calling them to partner with Awakening House of Prayer Ministry with Prophet Jennifer LeClaire. And God has been speaking to them for a long time about this. And although it's bittersweet for them to be leaving the church, okay, they will be leaving the church. They love. They're excited for what the next season is going to look like. But they'll be here until mid-May, and they're happy to talk to anyone that wants to talk to them about their new move. So, happy, sad, exciting. I'm still trying to talk them out of it, but, you can't talk people out of what God's directing them to, and I'm not getting in the way of what God wants them to do. Amen. So, it's exciting. That was one of the hardest things announcements I've ever said, I think, from this pulpit. But anyway. I love jokes. Well, I had one of the staff members come to me with a whole file of them the other day. And they put them, because they were going to chuck them out. And they said, no, give them to Kerry because his jokes are lame. So I pulled one out for you. This is about parking. We all love parking, don't we, in shopping centres and stuff like that. Well, a minister, and I can relate to this, a minister parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because he was short of time and couldn't find a space with a meter. So he put a note under the windshield wiper that read, I've circled the block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses. But when he returned, he found the citation from a police officer along with this note. He said, I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. Ha, ha, ha. It's great, isn't it? Well, this is number two, a close-up view of Jesus, and I hope you enjoyed last week. If you didn't hear last week's, you will not hear last week's because the power was out. Okay, so I'm going to try and do a voiceover of that message, and we'll put it on the, hopefully we'll do that this week, so it'll be up on the internet. It's a close-up view. This morning I'm going to be speaking on Oh, I'll get the, can you chuck me my water, please? It's not going to happen. We'll pray. It's not going to happen. You're all very quiet as though you're waiting for me to start coughing. It's all right. Sally can take over. Heavenly Father, Lord, before we get started, Lord, I pray health. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray against any, Lord, tickles in the throats. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room, their eyes will be attentive. Lord, their ears, Lord, will be attentive. And Lord, their hearts will be set and ready for a fresh revelation of your word this morning. Lord, empty me of myself. And I pray, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Hallelujah. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I've got it up there on the screen, but if you want to open up your iPad or iPhone or Bible, paper thing like this, you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1, 6. Okay, and it says, "And so, since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful mystery, we never give up. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods." I'll say that again. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone. And we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. If the good news we preach is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ, the Lord. All we say about ourselves is that we are your servants because of what Jesus has done for us. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon was admonishing a class of student preachers on the importance of making their facial expression harmonize with their speech delivering sermons. He said, "When you speak of heaven," he said, "let your face light up and be irritated with a heavenly gleam. Let your eyes shine and reflect the glory. And when you speak of hell, well, then your every face will do, everyday face will do." Many of us go from day to day with an expression of gloom on our faces. And it's my contention that we have the expression, that expression, because we do not take time to look at another face, and that's the face of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1, verse 6, what we just read, "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." Amen. We don't often take time to meditate on the face of Jesus Christ. We do not have any pictures or drawings or even word description of the physical appearance of Jesus. Yet imaginations of artists have struggled to portray his face for centuries. This is the face of a human person, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, This is the face that Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, and all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. See, this face upon which Jesus fell as He went to a stone's throw from His disciples and prayed this in Luke 22. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. See, this is the face that the Jesus inquisitors covered up, spat into, struck, and slapped, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is it that struck you? This being the face of Jesus Christ and all this and more having happened to him, what can we say today about the power of his appearance? Well, in your outlines, number one, the face of Jesus Christ is a real face and not a mask. You probably think, what's he saying here? The word personality comes from the Latin word persona. Okay, which equals mask. It especially refers to the kind of mask worn by actors in the Greek and Roman dramas, and there's a picture of them there. It was not a semblance or appearance of a face. It was a face made of human flesh that bled when thorns were pushed into this forehead. Unbelievers of Jesus' day and of our own would have us believe that he simply appeared to be a human. He was not to believe to have a real incarnation. He only acted as if he were in human flesh, partaking in a material nature. But as we saw last week, the Word became human, lived here on earth among us. Or in 1 John 4:2, consider this passage. This is the way to find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, that person has the Spirit of God. Okay? If a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, all right, that person has the Spirit of God. You know, think about that word. I'll say it again. If a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being, okay? All right, something to think about. But if you and I walk the way of Jesus Christ, we're not putting on an act or playing a part called a Christian. Right? We do not do the work of Jesus Christ as a performance. We do not, as Jesus said of the hypocrites, try to look pale and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. Rather, as our text teaches us, we reject all shameful and underhanded methods. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, we reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. You see, the face of Jesus Christ was for real, and that openness demands that we reject all phoniness, all play-acting, all grandstanding, and all striking the pose of pretense of being a Christian. May it be said to you and me that that person is what he or she appears to be, a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, some people you can look at and you can say, wow, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And there's some people you know that you can say, gee, they are trying to be a follower of Jesus Christ and pretending to be a follower of Jesus Christ, acting as though they are a follower of Jesus Christ, but not living as they are following Jesus Christ. People can pick a phony a mile away. Big cracks appear. If you profess that you're a Christian outside these walls, then you need to be walking and living as one, not acting as one. It's a big difference. Be real to yourself. You're not perfect. Like Dave had a t-shirt, "I am not perfect." It's true. Dave isn't perfect. But we aren't perfect. But Jesus Christ is. You know, in the bikey world, they respect people who they are. And if they believe that you say who you are and you act who you are, or you live on who you say you are, they will respect you. Just this week, I was at a funeral and I was having a chat to one of the coffin cheaters that I actually have met before in hospital. And we're having a bit of a laugh. And he says, What is it you do? And I had my shirt on. And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And he goes, "Oh, cool. That's good." And he still carried on with expletives after expletives, but he respects. And that's where sometimes we Christians really stuff up. Because I've taken Christians into an environment, into a not a very nice environment, and they have followed the way of the world. And they don't earn that respect. You get what I'm saying? If you say you're a Christian, be a Christian. Don't act like one. Just be one. It is easier being than acting as a Christian. Amen? Remember, no one's perfect. Don't be religious. Don't be religious. Even Jesus looked in the eyes of the Pharisees and went, "Ugh." Don't be religious, be real. Number two, the face of Jesus Christ is a compassionate face. Jesus focuses the gaze of his compassion on you and me as individuals. You remember Jesus' encounter with the young rich ruler, which I spoke of last week. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus recited almost several of his commandments to this young man in response to his question on how one could attain eternal life. And the young man told Jesus, "Well, teacher, all of these I've kept since I was a boy." Now, Jesus had the option of doing what later some had been doing to Timothy when Paul told him not to let anyone look down upon him because of his youth. But Jesus could have looked down upon this young man, but he did not. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, Jesus felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. See, Jesus loved him with no self-serving needs of his own to be met. He loved him in terms of his own person being made in the image of God. Jesus loved him as one for whom he would later die. He loved him more than he did his own life, much more than any passing fad or need for approval. Jesus loved him as God loves people. Jesus loves with the face of compassion. Such acceptance and love is so awe-inspiring. But for some, it is terrifying. They erected a defense against the love and compassion. And sometimes people do that. This young man did this. He went away sorrowing because he could not respond with a whole heart. Yet Jesus' look of compassion followed him. The face of Jesus is a compassionate face. Many individuals come under that focused gaze of compassion. Now, once Jesus was moved with compassion for a leper, he stretched out his hand and touched the untouchable and healed him. Luke 7 tells us that Jesus saw a bereaved widow whose only son had died, and he had compassion for her. He saw her as double bereaved person, whose husband had was already dead, and her only son had just died, and he was being carried out of the town gate. And Jesus had compassion on her and brought her son back to life. You and I have options as to how we look upon other people, both men, women, and children. Now, I want you to listen up here. I want you to listen to this next bit. If we walk and live in our own flesh, we can look upon them, people, to see what they can do for us. If we walk and live in our own flesh, we can look upon them as means to our goals, as tools to be used in the satisfaction of our own desires. And if we walk and live in our own flesh, we can look upon them as obstacles in the way of our achieving our own ambitions. And if we walk and live in our own flesh, we can simply look upon them as non-persons, non-entities, and not as if they're even being there. Our faces reflect these motives and these values of people. But our finest option for looking upon people is with compassion. Matthew 9, verse 36 says, Jesus looked upon the crowds of the people and felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, the way you look at people conform to the compassionate face of Jesus Christ transforms your relationships with them. You move from self-serving to redemptive caring. You move from littleness of self-defense to empathetic participation in other people's lives. You take into yourself the treasure of the image of God in them. Your face takes on the likeness of the compassionate face of Jesus Christ. Now, we're so blessed here at Hillside with people that serve, that want to serve. Whether it be in children's ministry, youth, women's, men's, HCCO, hospitality, welcome, the flowers, cleaning. You know, we do it with unselfish hearts. We do it with compassionate hearts. But that's here. That's here in this building, on this property. And we can do that every Sunday. We can pour out ourselves and say, oh, how are you today, Jared? How are you going? You doing well?
Yeah,
great. Trev, there you go, mate.
Good.
You all right?
Yeah.
Good. Desiree, doing all right?
Yeah.
Good. You know, we can love each other, can't we? We can look into people's faces and say, hi, how are you going? Genuinely, how are you going? My name's Kerry. Good to see you.
Hello,
what's your name?
Charlene.
Charlene. Nice to meet you, Charlene. Thanks for coming. Pastor Fred, Betty, have a great trip. You'll be away for the next 4 weeks. I'm going to miss you. And I mean that. We're going to miss you. But be blessed. Have a great trip. Crops, good to see you. You know, we can be loving to all people in this room, in this building. Hey, John. I can do that because you're sitting down. Don't stand up, all right? Don't stand up. He's worked very hard in our place this week. He's been doing some paving for me. We can be so compassionate when we want to be, especially at church, can't we? But really, what are we like when we leave these walls? Do we see people the way Jesus sees people outside these walls? That's being a Christian. Number three, the face of Jesus Christ is a silent face. Okay, is everyone awake for this? If they're not, just give them a nudge. You see, the silence of eternity collects itself in the face of Jesus. And in this awesome silence, our own hearts are both confronted, comforted and confronted. The silence of Jesus' face became a deafening quietness in the last few days of his life. He had told Peter that before the cock would crow, he would deny him three times. And Luke tells us that Peter denied a third time that he knew Jesus. And while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. And Luke tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse 61 and 62, he goes, at the moment the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered that the Lord had said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. And Peter left the courtyard crying bitterly. See, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The silence of Jesus' face brought the memory of his prophecy back to Peter. And there was the other side, silent looks of Jesus that compelled us to look into his face. Now, when Jesus was arrested, we learn that Herod was pleased to see Jesus. He had hoped to see Jesus perform a miracle. And he asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Now, in the gospel, we read that the high priest asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? And then we read, but Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. See, Jesus' capacity for silence in the presence of such accusations is both a rebuke and an admonition to me and you. We always rush to our defense, don't we? We always rush to our defense. We insist on having the last word, don't we, wives? Don't we? We insist on having the last word. When presented with hurting necessities by those who seek our comradeship in their suffering, we are quick to give answers. When caught up in controversies, we chatter away like at the latest news from the front. We go, la, 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 la. We can't keep ourselves, we can't shut our mouths. But perhaps what we should do more often than not is to offer up those to others, the silent, compassionate, and generally human face of Jesus Christ, who was tempted as we are and who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Sometimes our silent face is the face that speaks of strength. It's the face that speaks of compassion and a willingness to offer our hand more than any other face that we can wear. That's a hard thing to do, especially when we want to have the last word. Especially when we think we know what's better. Only God knows what's better. Number four, the face of Jesus Christ is an intentional face. Jesus lived deliberately. He lived purposefully and he lived intentionally. He was guided by an overpowering calling that shaped his direction daily. In Luke 9:51, it says, as the time drew near for his return to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Another Bible says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. See, Jesus' face was, as Isaiah had said of his own, in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, he says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will triumph. You know, for Isaiah, for Jesus, to set his face meant that he was fully persuaded that the direction that he was moving was the destiny that God had for him. His mind was made up. He had passed the Rubicon. He had come to a point of no return. There was no turning back. His face was set in stone and he was going that direction. And from that point forward, people have had trouble seeing the face of Jesus Christ, because he's always in front of us. Have you thought about it? We've got actual pictures and drawings of King Herod and all these other wonderful people, actual pictures. But have you ever seen an actual true picture of the face of Jesus Christ? Have you? We have trouble seeing the face of Jesus Christ because he is always in front of us, pioneering, trailblazing our faith. He's walking towards the cross, and what are we doing? We're following him to the cross. He is the point man on our patrol in this life and the next life. We can only see the back of his head and not his face, because that face is always set in the direction of the cross. The decision each of us is faced with concerns with what we will do with this intentional face of Jesus. Will we take it as our own and follow him to the cross? Or is it at this point that we will shrink back and retreat and fall off the pathway and go our own way and say it's too hard? You see, when we look into Jesus' intentional face, it has a way of pushing us off the fence and forcing us into a point of decision. Remember, Jesus wants us to be either hot or cold, not lukewarm. And the decision that Jesus desires for each of us to make is the decision Paul himself made, as we read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he says, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me, so I live my life in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul could say with all honesty, I've put on Jesus' intentional faith and followed him to the cross. Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, in whom I will follow to the ends of the earth. I will put him above everything. I will put him above my wife. I will put him above my family. I'll put him above my work. Because I know if I follow him and his ways, he will never leave me, never forsake me. His Holy Spirit is always guiding me, always correcting me, always showing me, always talking to me, always loving me. I am a person that is never without love. Never. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you are never without love. You can never say, oh, nobody loves me. Boo-hoo-hoo. Because that's a lie, straight from the pit of hell. You are loved unconditionally. You are loved so much. In 2 weeks' time, the whole world will be celebrating this here, the cross. That is love. Love is not love. Love is not love. God is love. The cross shows it, that that is love for you and me. Can I have the music team, please? And I love that old hymn. We were talking during the week with Kay, and I said, I just want something about the face of Jesus. We got that old hymn out. And it was Keith Green, actually. We heard of Keith Green. We thought, oh, we can change that up a bit. I want to sing that again. So today we've been able to look into, not at, but into the face of Jesus, okay? So when someone asks you, what did you learn today in church? You say, oh, we actually looked into the face, not at the face of Jesus, but we looked into the face of Jesus. We have no pictures, we have no description of his face, but we have something better, to look beyond his flesh and into his soul. And that's what we've done this morning. And looking there, we find that Jesus' face is real, that Jesus' face is compassionate, that Jesus' face is silent, and that Jesus' face is intentional. Now we must decide if our face will reflect his. Are you real? Are you real? Are you compassionate? There's no reason for any of us not to be compassionate. No reason at all. This is the tough one. Are you silent? Are you silent? Now, that doesn't mean to give your partner the silent treatment. I'm not saying that. Are you silent? And are you intentional? We must decide if our face will reflect his. How about it? If you're sick and tired of doing it life your way, try God's way. You know, we celebrated the life of Sharon this week, Joe and Jason's mum, at a memorial service, and I never really knew the lady that well. I prayed for her a couple of times, but you know, the testimonies of people that cried out in that funeral on Thursday was that she was intentional and that she was very compassionate. Everyone that got up and spoke about her just said how compassionate she was, a true friend, always there for them, sacrificial. She's in glory now. There's another person that Lance's father passed away, Dr. Steyer. And what a mighty man, what a mighty man he was. Did a lot of work in Africa, and he was always there to help people. I knew of Dr. Steyer even before I met Lance. And our thoughts and prayers go out to your family, Lance and Sue Ellen. And those who want to go to the memorial service tomorrow, it's Monday, 2 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 32 Bull Creek Drive in Bull Creek. That is another man that affected so many lives through his compassionate, intentional person he was. Are you of this world or are you of this kingdom? Of his kingdom. You know, let us all follow Jesus and his way. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Nothing else matters. Really, it doesn't. We're only here for a short time, folks. And through his intentional, through his compassionate, through his real and silent face, all he wants to do is bring everyone with him, his desire that none shall perish. And he will use you and me for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've looked at your word this morning, and Lord, as we've looked into your face this morning, Lord, you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I pray, Lord, each day give us a revelation. Holy Spirit, convict us seconds before we open our mouth. Lord, seconds before we use other people for our own desires. Remind us of who we are in you. Lord, forgive us for the times of that we've acted out or pretended, Lord, to be a Christian in that fake way. But Lord, today we draw a line in the sand, Lord, and I just pray for many of us in this room, maybe not all, but I hope all, Lord, that we just want to live a life serving you, honoring you, reflecting you, not acting you, but reflecting you and being you. We want more of you in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you loved us first. You loved us so much that you went to the cross so that we could have life for eternal. Heavenly Father, we lift up the Armstrong family and we lift up the Steyer family right now, and we just pray, pour out your compassion upon them. Pour out your love. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, let them not forget the legacy of these two people. The Christ-like legacy of both of them. And Lord, help us each day to freshly see your face. To want to follow you to the cross. Just every eye's closed and heads bowed. Just imagine this right now. You're walking along the path. Up on the hill you see the cross, and in front of you you see the back of Jesus. And just imagine with long hair, brown hair, with his coat, he's just walking slowly towards the cross. You can't see his face, but you know he is smiling. He has got a happy face on. And the reason he's got a happy face on is because you're behind him, following him. And you've got a happy face on. You've got a smile on your face. Because you know that you know where you're headed to. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we do life here on earth, in this world, that our faces reflect your face. That may we shine your light in this world. May we be a people, a smiling people, a happy people, a thankful people. Hallelujah. A blessed people. We just pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Are we all set? Amen.